You know, we live in a society that is plagued with opinions and thoughts of things that are what's right, what's wrong, who's right, who's wrong. But at the end of the day, there is only one that can stand true, which is the topic of this episode today for this podcast. Please stay with me for a few moments. This morning, as I was out, you know, I get up and walk most mornings, but one thing that I try to do is listen to a pastor's sermon or something to kind of charge myself for the day. And this morning, I was listening to a message by Dr. Adrian Rogers, and he was talking about Babe Ruth. And what he said was somewhat comical, but it makes really good sense as we look at our society, different opinions, things like that. What he was talking about, one particular event, Babe Ruth was standing there at home plate getting ready to bat, and the first pitch come and he just stood there and did nothing. Well, of course, the umpire called strike. The second one come, he took a swing at it and missed, and nothing, you know, strike two. Well, the third pitch come, and again, Babe Ruth stood there and did nothing. Well, it was a strike. The umpire called it strike three, you're out. And he looks over at the umpire and he says, you know, there's about 40,000 people in these stands that would say that was a ball. The umpire told him something profound, and he said, yes, but my opinion is the only one that matters. That's what stands. So that's kind of what we deal with in our society today. We have a lot of opinions, what's right, what's wrong. And as you know, this past Sunday, I delivered a message, you know, it was kind of weighty, but I wanted to touch on that with everyone. And it was found in Romans 1. And it was when Paul was addressing the Romans and the things that they were doing. And at the time, that culture was kind of a do as you want to. There was, you know, no sin went unembellished. They did a lot of different things that were immoral. And Paul was addressing the issue. And in Romans 1, verse 18, he talks about the wrath of God. And it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So you kind of have a cause of some things that are going on there in Rome. They suppress the truth. But I want to skip ahead in that scripture and tell you some of the consequences that come from that. And then I'm going to go back and touch on a couple of other things at the beginning of it. Verse 24, whenever you see the words such as therefore God or for this reason as mentioned in verse 26, what we understand is that something has happened that is about to move God to act on it. So something's happened, and that's the suppression of the truth, and it's about to cause God to act on it. There was a lot of things that people viewed as normal, you know, just accepted based on what the society dictated. The society was the one that was saying all of these things are acceptable, all of these things are normal, so it's okay to participate in these things. But God, you know, the word of God was there. It was being ignored. As I said, also, you know, it was suppressed. The truth of the word of God was being suppressed while sin was being elevated, and they were doing things that were contrary to God. And here's what happened. Verse 24 starts off, and it says, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. And verse 25 says, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. Exchanging the truth for the lie. And that's almost like taking the world's greatest diamond and trading it for a lump of coal or just an average stone. We take something so precious and so wonderful that we've been given, and that is the truth of God, how we live, how we conduct our lives, which is the best that it could possibly be. And we trade it for the lies and the deceptions that Satan has given us to draw us away from God. By his design, he wants to move us from God by giving or offering us things that look appealing, those things that we think are important, but in reality we're trading truth for a lie. And it goes on to say that they traded the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, what comes next? It says, for this reason. Now, they have given themselves up to idolatry. They've reduced God or what it is that they worship to something they can carve, chisel, or hammer out and tote around in their hand. And they think that this is the way that this is supposed to be. We can create our own, because what God is telling us is either restrictive, we don't agree with it, or whatever the case may be, that we want to move into another area that we can worship and do the things that, you know, we want to do in conjunction with what we worship. And that's why we today want to move away from the truth of God's word, is because we don't want to accept it. One, is because it interferes with what we want to do, what makes us popular, what society says is this is the way things should be, and nothing could be further from the truth. It goes on to say in verse 26, it says, "For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use of what is for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due." And I want to talk about that for just a moment. Whenever we see that phrase right there, whenever it says receiving the penalty of their error, which was due. Now, you have to stop and understand, what is the penalty for disobeying God? What is the penalty for living in a life of perpetual disobedience to God? Because what this, that's what this comes down to. And I'm just going to spell it out. I'm going to be big and plain with it. That ultimately equates to an eternal hell. It equates to damnation. We either live in a life of obedience to God and we receive the reward for that, or we live in disobedience and we receive the penalty for the things that we do. And as this scripture says, the penalty of our error, or their error, which was due. Verse 28 goes on to say, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind," which is a worthless or useless mind. And then it goes on to say, "to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whispers." Now, I want to go back for just a moment, and I want to talk about the part when we started about the suppression of the truth. It's not that they did not know the truth, and that's the way that we are today. It's not that we as Americans, it's not that we as a people don't know the truth. We're fully aware of it. We just don't want to deal with it. So in our not wanting to deal with truth, what we do is we create some type of false reality based on absolutely nothing beyond our own imaginations. We make that a truth, and then we begin to act on it. That's what has gotten us into the mess that we're in this country right now. False truths, false narratives, and being able, wanting to find ourselves in a position to live without conviction in a manner in which we want to. And it goes on to say, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Anyone who suppresses the truth of God does so in an unrighteous manner. But then in verse 19, it says this, "because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them." Now, that is a key verse in the Bible, and what it ultimately means is that everything that we need to know about God has been revealed to us. The Word of God stands true. It's the one thing that is true, has been true, will always be true. And it says in the end of that scripture, God has shown it to them. It's not that people don't understand the truth of God. It's that God doesn't fit into the life that they want to live according to the boundaries of the world. It goes on to say in verse 20, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are," and listen to this, "so that they are without excuse." Let that sink in for just a moment. What this ultimately means is that no matter what anyone says, no matter what they try to tell anyone as a reason for doing wrong, it says right here in the scripture, "so that they are without excuse." Those who suppress the truth of God, fully aware and fully knowing who God is, do so without excuse. There's nothing they can say that avoids the consequences of that decision. And people, I'm going to tell you something. You're free to make your decisions. You're free to do whatever it is you want to do, but be fully aware of the fact that there are consequences attached to decisions. They're not your decisions and someone else's consequences. They are your decisions and your consequences. And if you are someone who wants to suppress the truth of God in unrighteousness, then you stand accountable for those decisions, and you do it without excuse, thus saith the Lord. Now, that what that means for us is we're fully aware of who God is. We understand it. We know God exists. But one of the big things that we see, one of the big things that I hear, is someone telling me, well, there's just no evidence of God. Well, I got some news for you folks. He's evident all around us. You're suppressing the truth of it, and you're denying the truth of that evidence because you want to be able to live as you choose without conviction. And according to that scripture right there, so that they are without excuse. Goes on in verse 21 to say, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. Doesn't say they didn't understand. It says they knew. Although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. Instead, they carved out their own images and walked around with them in their pockets. You know, we live in a society, and if you stop and you think about this, folks, I believe that there's not a single person, probably with an earshot of this podcast, whoever may hear, whoever may listen, hear what I'm fixing to tell you. We live in a nation marked by chaos and confusion. Most people would agree to that. Now, here's something we also need to understand. Throughout the Bible, whenever you see nations, kingdoms, whoever, people, whoever it may be, marked by chaos and confusion, you see someone or some people that God had taken his hand off of, and they were under the judgment of God. And people, that's where we are right now. We may not be under the wrath of God yet, but I assure you, we as a nation are under the judgment of God. And here is why. From the 1960s moving forward, we have systematically removed God from every aspect of American life, even though we know the truth of his word. And here's something I fail to understand on any level or any degree. How can someone that understands the truth of God's word and say it is okay to abort children? How can anyone who understands the truth of God's word say, love is love, you can marry whoever you want to? Not according to God's word. And that's what we're doing. We're suppressing the truth of God. All the while, we're elevating the sins of society. And we think somehow that because we get enough people on board with it, or get enough people to agree with us, we're going to change God's mind on all of this. And nothing could be further from the truth. Folks, we have to own our decisions. Not only we have to own our decisions, we have to own the responsibilities and the consequences that are attached to those decisions. We stand accountable, and we also stand without excuse. We know who God is. We understand who God is. Trying to put him in a box, trying to suppress his truth, trying to hold him at an arm's length while we continue to do what we want to do, it's just simply not going to work. We keep going further and further and further down in the rabbit hole, so to speak. All the while, we stand back, ask ourselves the question, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to our nation? And I sit back and I look, people, I can give it to you in one sentence: turning away from God. Anytime you saw a kingdom in the Old Testament, and listen to me, people would argue the point that, well, that's the Old Testament, that doesn't apply to us now. No. Listen to me. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. The way we receive salvation come through the New Testament, through the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But we're talking about the same God of the Old Testament, folks. He judged kingdom after kingdom and nation after nation, time and time and time again, for doing the very same things that we're doing now. We embellish and we parade immorality around. And it's gotten to a point that people can't even see or understand the truth. Whenever you look at verse 26, for this reason, for the things that we're doing as a nation, God will give them over, give us over to vile passions. We can't even see the truth anymore. And one thing that we need to understand and we need to do as a nation is we need to be on our faces before God, asking for forgiveness, and not only asking for it, but turning away from the things that we're doing right now. That's the only way this nation will ever be what we want it to be. It will not come through disobeying or going against the things that God has told us in his word. He is God. He can do what he wants to. And he has shown us through his Old Testament, the things around us, he has shown us what he can do. He is powerful and he is righteous, and we need to pay attention to that. You know, while it's true that it is a wonderful thing that we as Americans have the privilege to live free and to choose for ourselves the things that we enjoy, the things that we love to do. But however, we're not free to choose without consequence. The thing that we need to understand is that unlimited free will in the absence of biblical boundaries equate to chaos and confusion. That's kind of what we're living with now. So in our freedom, in our abilities to choose, be sure that we're choosing things that lie within the biblical parameters, those guidelines that God gives us. That's the only way we'll ever experience the best life that we could ever possibly have is living in the will of God. God bless, and I pray that the week goes well for each of you.